beaming into your mind like a ray of cosmic revelation, smashing through the mainstream like a comet of prophecy. You're listening to Planet Verloc, your podcast for everything super psionics and magic tech. Welcome to my show. I'm your host, Doc Verloc, and tonight's podcast is called Psychotronics, Relationship of Mind and Machine. Contrary to popular mechanics and stereotypical belief, psychotronics is not about the expense on components for crafting powerful mind machines. Rather, it is more about the relationship that we have to our instruments. I'm going to explain why that is the case in this podcast tonight, so without further ado, let us begin. Perhaps the best means by which to explain the relationship to machines and why I think I'm qualified to lecture on this topic is a retrospective telling of my time spent working as a technical author for a world-renowned manufacturing engineering company responsible for producing a Tomahawk missile, heart pacers, and a pressure transducer used in airplanes or pressure cable. Well, I believe that my position at the company played a key role in producing comprehensive materials and writing documents, recording video footage, as well as strategically archiving and organizing files across the company's computer network. My title as technical writer is most exemplary of understanding the overall, the high-level bird's-eye view of the company, as well as a thorough and in-depth comprehension of every procedure within the various product lines for this company. So, while I was also someone who understood the global processes of the company, I also understood each individual product and the procedures required to make each product, as well as the problems that accompany making products. And of course, for some other companies I contracted my skills for, I learned about other types of products. But I think this particular company is most exemplary of my overall understanding of building machines. So upon my first day at the company, I was shown something incredible. I mean, prior to this introduction of modern marvels, I had never dreamed that a machine of this kind ever existed. It was to me the stuff of science fiction until I set my eyes upon it and I observed it working a miracle. What I am referring to here is a robot, but a very special kind of robot. This robot's sole purpose was to make gold. That's right, you heard me. This robot was designed to make gold. And I cannot say more about this. Such details are indeed confidential. But what I can say is that I am honored to have had this opportunity and a very rare privilege to be up close to this robot and check it out. I mean, it was held in a very safe place. It was contained in a safe place where not just anybody could walk in. But that is only one of the rare privileges allowed to me while working at this prestigious manufacturing engineering company. On another occasion, I was offered a role to perform in the Tomahawk missile project. My first part to play was in data input and data entry and categorizing the parts and components into a comprehensive parts list to be officially distributed both to the senior engineer, the mechanical engineer, ceramics engineer, and the design engineer. This task was assigned to me by my senior engineer. Off subject, but the senior engineer and I became good co-workers and something rather like friends, at least at the office, at the company. So there were a number of good conversations that we had and even some unusually cool projects we co-opted on. During a visit to the electronics side of the company, I learned I was introduced to a very old woman who was from Poland originally, who I believe was nearly 80 years of age. Well, this remarkable woman had a keen and sharp mind, and the only one with a memory of how to build a particular product. Due to her nearing retirement and being the only employee who understood every finite detail of the creation of a particular pressure transducer cable production process, I was to study her every move and learn from her the entirety of the manufacturing process of this pressure transducer. I mean, every minute detail, from cleansing to curing, and from placing the diode exactly on the substrate to wiring of the circuit board to the cable. Each step was analyzed, and I repeated it with microscopic care. There were, of course, some interesting ideas we discussed about troubleshooting this project. Well, you see, some cables had been known to have wires that would break. We're talking about the wire leads from the PCB. And therefore, we discussed privately how we might avoid these errors. For let it be known that these pressure cables were, as she informed me, a good $3,000 or more apiece, or something around that number. So they're quite expensive. Thus, resolving potential breaks in the wire leads could and would, in the scheme of things, save the company some fortune. Well, you know, some of these cables are meant to do things like if an airplane wing, like the little flap on a wing, needs to make an adjustment within timing that a human's reflexes could never catch up with, then these cables and other circuits, sensors, I should call them, these sensors kick in and do that job that a human being, you know, because of our perception of space-time and our reaction time, we wouldn't be able to pilot quite as well without these modern marvels. Now, this was many years ago when I was working on these projects, so what we might have today, who knows? It's probably a whole world of difference. But anyway, so from my earliest beginning at the company, I learned the entire process and each procedure for silkscreen printing of the circuit board artwork. And on two models, mind you, two models of silkscreen printers. I think it was the TF700 and another one, or 1700. For any of the instructions which were inoperable or outdated, I had to track down any existing companies that still had knowledge of the old models and call them on the phone. So with that, having some success, I was able to rewrite entire manuals with this new information and recalibrate the settings on the machines that were off, and added my own personal touch of visual talents to these final products, and made these manuals most comprehensive and easy to learn from. And that's something I just happen to enjoy doing. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind as you read my ebooks. Troubleshooting became a snap. I learned how to operate every machine I came into contact with, forward and backwards. I'm talking about viscometers or viscometers, solder reflow, silkscreen printers, laser cutters, microscopes and microscopic photography, dicing machines, ovens of all shapes and sizes to bake and cure crucibles. And well, you know, you name it, the company probably had something rather like it. In all of this, I came to the ultimate realization that anything worthwhile takes considerable time and effort to build, including the various troubles that come along the way in such pursuits and ventures in manufacturing, and indeed in manufacturing engineering and in design engineering. Whether we're talking about the electronic side, the actual electric side, or the mechanical or the ceramics engineering, each section of the company, each specialty has its number of troubles and troubleshooting and retesting and redesigning. And the same thing can be said for crafting of any kind. Now, radionics is no different. Psychometric infusion instruments like the Miraculous Prayer Board are indeed no different. I'm talking about the time and effort that it takes to build these instruments. The only real difference is in the captured intent behind the making of a prayer board. And whereas a manufactured item for ordinary everyday use or even for military use is constructed by pure math. Now, having said this, I want to make one distinction here very clear. And that is, as a matter of course, the topic of my podcast tonight. Psychotronics is not about the quality of the components or the expense of the final machine that is produced. No. That stereotype thinking that the glamorous shining box is somehow or in some way going to best a magician, a long-time magician who's built a radionic unit out of a shoebox, is simply mistaken. I'm not sure if you understood me there. I might paraphrase that. Let's just say that a man who has, or a woman, who has practiced magic for an extensive period of years, builds their instrument out of paper and pen. You know, paper and ink. And then you have another guy who's pretty new, who has this glamorous, shining machine that he paid $100 or thousands of dollars for, even. The person who built their own machine from a cardboard box, from a shoebox, is more likely to be the one who gets successful results from their work in psychotronics and psionics. Psionics, by the way, is basically method, whereas psychotronics and radionics is really about the machinery. Psychotronics is about the relationship that the magician achieves with his or her machines, devices, gadgets, tools, instruments, and the various tunable or otherwise interactive props that he or she works with. With that having been said, I invite you to join my club and learn from me the psionics methods which I have found truly work. And it won't cost you very much in this venture. That is a guarantee. So, as you can now see, there is nothing up my sleeves here. Why don't you come with me into the magical world? Become a psionic adept. Be a magician of renowned glory and train with me. Thank you for joining me tonight on Planet Vrilok Psionics Podcast. And until next time, as always, always keep the magic high. This is Doc Vrilok, signing out.